On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we find out why our sports stars have replaced fish and chips with something called nutritious foods in what promises to be a whole new world for Tony Smith. It's Wednesday. We get all the not-fast news from Dave and a special treat as we catch up with Rob Ellis once again, live around the world on the internet, on FM and DAB. This is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And these are some more of your local headline makers. Newark Amateur Boxing Club's Mac O'Brien returned from his latest contest at Ucknall with a victory. And staying with the noble art, Chad Sugden returned to the ring after a long layoff with a unanimous 40-35 points victory at the Harvey Adams Stadium on Saturday evening. Newark Town ladies bowed out of the Notts Cup after a 5-0 home defeat by the Mansfield Hosiery Mills. And Newark Strider Ben Bernard was in Castleton on Saturday for the Cancer Research UK Peak District Tough 10K, and that's exactly what it was. Ben finished 25th out of 322 competitors in just over the hour in very rough terrain and a 1,100-foot climb in the middle of it. A great game of basketball in Scotland. The Jags 2 travelled to play Lothian in Division 2. And after a wonderful team performance, they lost 39-28, but took so many positives from it. And didn't they just love that second quarter? A 6-0 victory. Just think on that one. All the way to Scotland for a game of wheelchair basketball. And some of our footballers can't go 5 miles up the road. And talking of football, in last night's localish matches, Grantham Town's new manager Richard Thomas got off to the worst possible start. His side got beat 7-0 at Matlock. Renneth Miners Welfare will not be joining the likes of Newark Flowserve and Collingham in the third round of the Notts Senior Cup, beaten 6-0 at Notts Senior League Stapleford. Clifton All Whites go through though. They put 10 past Attenborough. And good news for Tony and for Newark Flowserve. Sherwood Colliery lost in the league for the first time, beaten by the odd goal in five at home to Hena Town. And there's live football tonight as the floodlit cup holders Collingham travel to Retford United in round two of this season's competition. Come on, Ida. So I just think you're celebrating all night then, the fact that Sherwood Colliery got beat. It's been coming. It's slowly, that's been coming.
Well, I was doing the programme this morning, and so I had to update the league tables for the Central Midlands League. For the East Midland Counties League. And I did notice the result for Sherwood Colliery, which was obviously superb from our point of view. But, you know, I mean, like, sort of, they got beaten by Collingham with a full-strength side in the County Cup, so
it's been coming.
You know,
They only won by a penalty at Clipston on Saturday, so
there's obviously a bit of a wobble on
there. There's a wobble there.
And did you notice also that Clipston was the highest gate in the EMCL on Saturday?
150.
Mm-hmm. Which is bodes very well for the game of Spurrowash at Lawfields on Saturday.
Grantham. 7-0 at Matlock. And Matlock's below them in the table.
That
probably
is
not
shocking.
Probably not for much longer. That is not good, is it?
What an awful start for the new management team.
That is not good at all. And Renneth, I know you're going to say they've probably had a weakened team and clubs don't go after cup competitions like they should. I've heard it all before.
I don't think Renneth have got a weakened team.
Renneth Miners Welfare getting beat 6-0 at Stapleford. Come on. Mm. That's awful.
But when Flowserve went up to football step six, I was putting on Facebook, we're going to be playing the likes of Arnold Town and Renneth Miners Welfare. What a season. And now they're the two bottom clubs in the
MCL. Bottom teams, and you're playing the likes of Sherwood Colliery and Selston.
Yeah.
But there you go.
And Selston are also having a wobble.
They're not, that time they lost in the league. Chad's back with a bang. Unanimous points decision. All my spies tell me he looked back to his old self. He looked strong, and it was a totally one-sided competition.
But hadn't the guy won 14 out of 14?
Something three ridiculous, by KO, yeah.
That he was fighting.
If Chad can stay fit, he can go a long way in that game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he went to the top of you know, the sort of kickboxing world, so there's absolutely no reason why he can't convert to boxing and have an equally successful career.
Exactly. Now, our guest tonight's claim to fame is he hit the back pages of the Advertiser when he was 14 playing in the New York Football Alliance. The only problem is the Advertiser says he was 18 and spelt his name wrong. Luke O'Reilly, who was the editor of the Advertiser at the time?
It was Mr. Tony Smith.
It was Mr. Tony Smith.
I must have been on holiday. Yeah.
No, you wasn't.
15 years later and I still remember that.
Doesn't bear a grudge. Our guest tonight is, as you've worked out already, Luke O'Reilly. And Luke O'Reilly is the mastermind behind a phenomenon which is sweeping Newark sport at the moment, called Kitchen 52. And we've got Luke here tonight to find out a little bit about what it's all about, because it's nutritious food, Tony. And I realise you're going to struggle. You told a story last night that it was, and I've used it already, that it was fish and chips on the way to the ground. Luke's told a story pre-show that it was McDonald's on the way to the ground.
Yeah, it's good old days.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
But times are a-changing.
Well, you're lucky I'm here at all tonight, because, you know, that's Echo Falls where I live. You know, tonight is large sandwich night, so I'm missing that to come out tonight. So, you know, you're lucky I'm here.
This is what I got in from one of our friends. On the athletic circuit, one of Newark's senior athletics people, when Brendan Foster was asked if he had any special diet, he said the same as the missus, but twice as much. My pre-match meal was scrambled eggs on toast and a mug of tea about 4 hours before a race. My worst experience was Mum decided that egg custard was pretty much the same as scrambled eggs, but it doesn't stay where scrambled eggs do stay. After training runs at the Grove, we always used to go for a couple of pints at the Sports Centre bar to replace the minerals that they had lost. And that, you know, is the way it used to be.
Well, football teams always used to stop off at a hotel on the way to the ground for steak, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then actually steak.
To be fair, a lot of the professional teams that we've been involved with, alternatively, even up to last year, they were going to Domino's on the way home just to refuel. Yeah, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but I'm talking professional football clubs that, you know, that still did that. So,
without advertising it too much,
no, not at all.
What is the concept behind Kitchen 52?
The concept behind it was just to provide, really, at first, just the local community with a healthier option, somewhere to go to eat. I had the struggle of my lunch breaks when I worked in town, of finding somewhere to get that healthier option. So that's really was the sort of mindset behind it at the start.
How difficult is it to convince people that lunch shouldn't be a McDonald's and a Starbucks and should be
quite hard when you're
meal.
Quite hard when you're next door to Subway and Asda. But it is and it isn't. I mean, I think without singling people out, the sort of elderly generation, it is very hard to convert them. I mean, you know, my dad often says, "Oh, I was brought up on potatoes," and you know that was fine for me. Whereas I think the younger generation, I think, due to social media and the internet playing such a big role now, and you know, sort of, it's always being plugged how it is good to eat well and sort of things like that, then obviously that grabs the attention of the younger generation. So in terms of that, not that hard, but certainly converting the elder sort of generation, that is hard.
You see, even in, you know, let's go back to the professional sports level, and when I used to go and watch Forest, you got there about 1:30, so all the players turned up from home,
yeah,
in the cars. You read a story last night that once again Manchester United's bus was, yeah, late for a home match.
Yeah.
So they'd obviously got together and had a pre-match meal,
yeah, yeah,
somewhere in a, yeah, hotel, and instead of just meeting at the ground. So it's changed at the top level, hasn't it? We're going to talk after 7:30 about,
yeah,
about some of our local clients.
Yeah.
But it's changed at the top. And is this where you got the idea from then, by seeing the sporting superstars, the way they've changed?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's an idea that's been sort of tried and tested in sort of major cities across the UK, and it has worked. So I sort of got the idea from there, and obviously Newark had nothing like it. And there's a lot of gyms in Newark. There's a lot of people go to the gym in Newark, and there's a lot of sports clubs in Newark. So I thought there was definitely scope for something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, looking at the two of you, there's Mr. Fish and Chips and there's Mr. Nutrition, and you can see there's a difference. You can see there's a massive difference. Why is having a bag of chips, which, I mean, I've seen players come to Flow Surf eating chips to play football.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done it myself.
I've seen it time and time again. Yeah. Why is that, and having a Mackie D like yourself did, why is that bad?
I think what somebody once told me was, it's like putting water in your car. It's not going to run very well, is it? Whereas if you put petrol in your car, it does. And it's kind of like what you feed into your body, you get out. So if you're feeding your body with nutritious food and the right sort of foods for energy levels and things, then obviously that's going to sort of reflect in your performance.
So what is nutritious food?
Well, I think it's specific to whatever sport that you're in. I mean, if you're a footballer, they sort of, a lot of our clients who play football, for their pre-match food, they have like sort of a large carbohydrate intake before the game to sort of stock up on fuel, and then afterwards they eat a lot of protein to help their muscles recover. So in terms of that nutrition, it's like that. But then obviously you've got the boxers who we provide food for. I've had a message today off one of our boxers that we provide food for, and he says, I just need salads now because I need to cut weight, you know. So it's sort of monitoring and bespoke in meals to the individual athlete or team, really.
So just for our benefit then, let's just concentrate on football.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk more football later, but what would you recommend a footballer consumes before he plays, and how long before?
Well, the Newark Flow Serve lads are having some brownies and flapjacks because they're high carb content, so it gives them more energy. Whereas I suppose if you're having something without carbs in it, you're not really going to get that.
And after the match, then is that the time to sit down and have your big slap up meal, or should you still be watching?
Yeah, I think the lads are all having protein shakes as soon as they finish the match, just to sort of rebuild the muscles and repair them from obviously the 90 minutes they've done on the pitch.
So does this make you a quicker footballer, a better footballer, a footballer with more stamina that's not going to sort of die on his feet at 70 minutes?
Well, I suppose so. If you're doing this week in, week out, and you're following a set nutrition plan, then you are going to be a better performer. But I suppose in the Sunday league world, if people are just having a protein shake after the game and that's it for the week, then, you know, maybe not. But maybe it's sort of psychological for them, and it does help them.
My wife knew you were coming on tonight.
Right.
And so she prepared a lunch and a tea and said you will be impressed. So can I run it by you?
Yeah, yeah.
It was quiche and salad and beetroot for lunch. Yeah. And then for tea it was beef casserole and broccoli.
It depends how you feel. How do you feel? Do you feel better?
Feel full.
There you go then. As long as it's satisfied your need, then... then you're all right.
But it's also...
Could you play for 90 minutes?
but it's also day 15 of me giving up alcohol completely.
Right, well, that is going to help.
That is... I'm just going to interrupt Tony on that one, because that is a very serious point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, I'll go back to my Flow Serve days, sitting around the table after the match, listening to Hillier and Masky's stories, and you're still there at 10 o'clock tonight, and most of them couldn't even walk out.
Yeah. I've been there, yeah.
Is that... Where does that... In the modern day, where does that stand?
I think it's a shame, because although I'm here to talk nutrition, it was a great side of the sort of local sports that used to be a real big part of it, and it does seem to have gone. And whether that's nutrition-based or... I'm not really sure, but it depends. If you're not a professional athlete, then... you know, why not have a pint after the game? But I suppose if you are really serious about your sport, then probably not.
Is there a difference between, I suppose it must be between, I'm not down crying, a Sunday League footballer, a Sunday League footballer, and then somebody who's expected to perform for Newark Flowserve on a Saturday afternoon. It is a higher level, and they will be expected to look after themselves.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Better.
I mean, Lincoln City got us involved this year because I think a lot of their players in their own time weren't probably looking after themselves the best way they could. There was looking after themselves when there was at the stadium and when there was in the training facility, but there was going home at night and not doing that. So, yeah, I think the answer's yes to that, yeah.
You've got one eye on this conversation, really, with Flowserve. So you could answer the question, Tony. Are they looking fitter and stronger in that last third of the game and some of the opposition?
Well, I think when we played Retford in the first round of the County Cup, Retford gave a really, really good account of themselves for 70 minutes, and it was 1-0. And then basically Flowserve said, right, yo, now we'll show you what we've really got, and turned it on and won 6-2, and Retford was struggling over the last 20 minutes. And the entire difference was the fitness level.
Because I've been sitting trying to work this one out. The names that he mentioned to me before we started, and we're going to mention after 7:30, to a man and to a team, look, they're all had a successful period of time.
Yeah, they are.
And now that can't be a fluke. There's got to be something happening that makes all these teams successful.
I think so. I think the more professional you take anything in life, you're going to perform better at it. I mean, Flowserve have obviously taken things, you know, to sort of the next level this year, and that's why they brought us on board to do the food. And although I'd like to think it's all because of our food, I think it's obviously because you've got a lot more professional people there now as well.
It was very noticeable after the game on Saturday, and when you're not chucking the pints back, you notice it more.
Yeah,
I was drinking an isotonic drink after the game on Saturday, and I noticed how many of the Flowserve players were also drinking soft drinks or isotonic drinks rather than the usual sort of, we've won 4-0 in the cup, bang, 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 let's have 6 pints before we get on.
Do you give them a set of...
Yeah, we provide them with the pre-match and half-time food. So really, it's just for like refueling sort of purposes. But, I mean, you know, like Tony said, I think it was cool 20 years ago to have a pint in your hand, and I think now it's cool to have a protein shake in your hand.
Yeah.
I just think it's the way of the world. I think it's sort of massively social media based as well.
We're going to talk about the clubs and their individuals. This is going to be like a who's who, this is, Tony. The clubs and their individuals that you look after. And you're going to tell us some of the food that they have and the different ways you have to look after different sports. And we'll do that after we talk to Not Fast Dave. Okay, while Luke's having some wonderful, nutritious food, and he's trying to talk Tony into having some as well, but struggling, we're going to go and talk to Not Fast Dave, because Not Fast had a massively busy weekend, and Dave's here to tell us all about it. Dave, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, indeed. Thanks very much.
Let you do your report, and then I'm going to find out what you eat before you go running, because that's the subject of tonight. But first things first, Not Fast Dave and the weekend report.
Lovely, thanks, Mick. So, yeah, we had 51 of our club members over 8 different park runs on Saturday morning. Some really good PBs for Tracy Thompson, Vic Knight, Rebecca Lax, Charlotte Sutton, Caroline Upton, Lynn Gascoigne, and Janet Davis. Just one key mention on the last one, Janet Davis there. She finally got a PB under 25 minutes. Now she's been working for almost 3.5 years to get that, so fantastic results for Janet. Now on Sunday we had 13 members at the Thoresby 10. Now, the 10's not really a giveaway. There's various distances, and it was a lovely Sunday morning. In the 5K race, Kim Etherington Bates came in first in her age category at 24:46, and then Kirsty Crook in 32:16. In the 10-kilometre race, it was myself, first back for the club, in 49:53, and then followed by Simon Locke in 53:36. Faye Patterson in 1 hour 4:14. Suzanne Catley in 1 hour 5.27, Joe Gray 1 hour 7.04, Diane Kennett in 1 hour 10.16, and Faye Hemingway in 1 hour 15.01. Also, there was a 10-mile race at the Thoresby 10. We had four members. Adrian Dixon, 1 hour 15:49, which is very good going. I spoke to him towards the end, and he had a pretty bad ankle, so fantastic running. Stephen Crook, 1 hour 19:57. Caroline Upton, 1 hour 38:59. And Kira Greenham, 2 hours 20:52. Now, also on Sunday, there was the Clumber Trust 10K. Now, for those that don't know, it's a 10K race at Clumber Park, and it's a free event, so anyone can just turn up and just race at their own leisure. It's a very nice event, very social event. We had nine members there. We had Steve Needham, 58:06, Annette Taylor, 58:09, Alexander Combi, 1 hour and 12 seconds, Kerry Robinson, 1 hour 5:01, Cliff Robinson, 1 hour 7:14, Sue Needham in 1 hour 8:56, Nettie Stevens and Kathy Clark crossed together in 1 hour 11:37, Madeline Combi 1 hour 15:02, and Jill Good 1 hour 22:40. Also on Sunday, John Miller was at the Town and Gown at 10K, and that's in Cambridge, and he crossed the finish line in 1 hour 1:18. And finally, in long distance walking, Stuart Ashley was at the Dave Lewis Challenge. Now, that started and finished in Kelham, just down the road, 27 miles in time of 8 hours and 19 minutes. Sunday was really a nice day for running. It was cool, it was sunny, it was not windy. The turnout of the Thoresby 10 was a fantastic turnout from all different clubs and independent runners. So, yeah, really good weekend for running this weekend, and hopefully next weekend and then coming into the cooler months is going to be even better for running.
The Thoresby 10 always does attract a good crowd from Newark, doesn't it?
It does, and the amount of dogs there, because it's a canicross event as well. So there's people with the dogs, which makes me happy, because I can't have one. My wife's allergic, so I get my dog fix when I go to these events.
I can't. Stu and Steve Needham are used to longer distances and more exotic places, I suppose.
It's
nice to see them local.
It is nice to see both of Needham's local. So, yeah, really good turnout for everyone this weekend.
Good. So we're talking nutritious food tonight, and how things have changed. Luke O'Reilly's here, supplier of the nutrition to all Newark Senior Clubs, Slow Serve and Bolton Cricket Club, all the boxers, Lincoln City and all them. What do the good people of Notfast, what's their pre-run meal? Let's concentrate on you, Dave. What do you do before a run?
Honestly, it all depends on the time of day of running. If I'm doing a morning race, what I'll tend to do is get up quite a bit earlier. So let's say if there's a race at 9 o'clock, get up about 6 o'clock. What I'll tend to have is just a coffee, like I normally do. I personally go for a toast with peanut butter and a banana. I don't know whether that's the best thing, but it works for me. If I've got a race later in the day or in the afternoon, generally, I'll tend to eat what I normally eat, and that tends to be kind of healthy, fresh food, fish, we're talking veg, not necessarily lots of carbs unless I've got a big race the next day. If I'm doing a half marathon, I'll tend to have quite a bit of carb the night before. You know, I'm not an expert, I'm not a nutritionalist, but it works for me. It's a slow release of energy. And then after the race, when I've finished the race, I'll just eat cake and sweets. I'm not even ashamed to admit it, Mick.
So let's ask the expert. Luke, is he on the right lines with fruit and toast and peanut butter before he goes running?
Well, I think he's the expert. It's his sport, isn't it? So I think mainly people in their own sport know exactly what they need to eat, beat him. So, you know, to be specific with that.
I mean, I think what you've said already, Luke, tonight is if you're happy and your body's happy with it, that's what you go for. Is there something like that in it?
We don't tend to advise people on what to eat. We tend to just provide them what they ask us to. So it's very sport specific. So a lot of people come in and say, I'm a boxer, this is what I need, or I'm a runner, this is what I need, and we look at the plans and we just tailor it to what they want.
Do you do cake?
We have got a cake provider that does gluten-free and sugar-free cakes, yes.
There you are, Dave. You can have a gluten-free or sugar-free cake.
we never know. Things might change.
Wonderful. Dave, we'll catch up with you again next week. Thank you so much for that, and we'll think about you eating your peanut butter on toast on Sunday morning.
Thanks, Lovely. Thanks, Mick.
Okay, thanks.
Take care, Mick.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that's Dave Farger there, our very own Not Fast Dave. And these are some of the headlines making today's news. Or more to the point, we've got two stories for Tony to talk about. The next three English domestic rugby seasons will be extended and also include in-season breaks, with the players limited to a maximum 35 matches per campaign. The measures beginning in 2019-20 are designed to protect players during a demanding schedule that includes the World Cup and the 2021 British Lions Tour to South Africa. And FIFA are set to revive controversial plans for a new Club World Cup and Nations League that had previously been backed with Saudi Arabian cash. Reports suggest the Club World Cup would be held annually and involve the top European and Premier League teams. UEFA is against the plans. Well, there's a shock.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
So, very quickly, Mr. Smith, limiting rugby players to 35 matches a season. Not a bad idea.
It's a very good idea, because these days people are beginning to realise that rest and relaxation is just an important part of an athlete's career as training. You know, you can very, very easily get burnout. And the reason that the England team don't do well in summer tournaments is because they start the season fighting fit, but by the end of the season they're absolutely knackered and all the fit for is lying on the beach. And they're expected to go off to a tournament. So the more we can introduce things like the winter break and, you know, specific coaching that's designed at looking at R&R just as much as the sort of physical stuff, the longer the players will last, and they'll get to May time when they come to the crunch games and they'll be fit as a flea both physically and mentally.
And FIFA want to create a World Club World Cup. What they're actually doing, seeing how good the Champions League is, and want their own.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been the World Club Championship since about the 60s, but I mean, it's always been disregarded, and I can't really see the World Club Cup being any different to the current setup in terms of how highly it's regarded. If you remember in the early 60s when the League Cup came in, it meant nothing, and it still means nothing to anybody. People put out reserve teams. So, you know, I mean, the World Club Cup, you know, it's a cracking idea, but it doesn't carry any kudos whatsoever.
Can you remember Manchester United against Estudiantes?
Estudiantes, Nobby Styles.
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't a football match, was it? It was far from a football match.
Proper football.
Exactly.
In the days when it used to be a contact sport.
Luke, as Tony said, is rest and relaxation as important as eating the right foods?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think that's part of your recovery, isn't it? And I think while these sort of athletes are resting, that's quite important what kind of nutrition they get into their body then as well.
Now, we said we'd talk about some of the names that your company looks after. So we'll start with what I suppose has got to be the biggest, and that's got to be the Lincoln City Football Club.
I think that's probably our proudest achievement so far. I think at the start we was obviously pushing the business, trying to sort of generate interest from professionals, which we did quite easily. But I think we take a lot of pride in the Lincoln situation, because they approached us. It was completely off the back of them hearing about what we were doing. And they approached us last year, because a lot of their players were coming to us themselves. And then they brought us on in the summer to be official food supplier to them.
And this was Danny Cowley, was it?
I have spoken to Danny Cowley. Very interesting man. Very good manager. He's got a very good rapport with the supporters and the community there, and I think the whole city sort of really got behind him, which in turn has helped us, because they've got behind us as well.
And when he could have, because he must have had countless opportunities to.
I've heard that.
He stopped there, and great respect. So what? How does it work with Lincoln? Just talk me through a normal Saturday.
So, well, it's not just Saturdays now, is it? I mean, we did food last week on a Tuesday. So, Lincoln have their own menu that we got a nutritionist to design for them, along with their sports psychologist that we sat down with. We talked about what their players needed and what they wanted. So we designed a menu. I think there's five or six choices on there, and they've got that menu, and 48 hours before the game they email that over to us with a full list for the players, any specific requirements like any allergies, anything like that, and then we do the food and we deliver it over depending on where they're playing. This week they're away at Colchester, I believe, and they are travelling down Friday morning, so we'll deliver the food Friday morning for them. Alternatively, it's a Saturday, we do it on a Saturday morning, that's it basically. It's quite easy.
So it's all stored in refrigerated containers?
And all delivered that way too. Yeah, and like I say, I mean, Lincoln's, you know, like 25 minutes down the road now, so it isn't far at all.
I can't help noticing. I take it on your arm, you've got the world's greatest ever footballer.
I have, and I wonder what he'd have been like if he'd have had nutritionist.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the ones of you that haven't got radio TV, he's got George Best on his arm, yeah. Who I class as the world's greatest ever.
I agree.
Footballer. The man was just... simply the best.
But just imagine what it'd have been like if he'd got his food from us.
Exactly, yes. You know, in this day and age with sports psychologists and nutritionists, what would the likes of George Best and Brian Clough and even that chap at Leeds...
I'm sure they'd have a good talk about it down the pub, wouldn't they?
They really wouldn't understand it, would they?
No.
So that's Lincoln, and that really is the flagship, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really for us, yeah. And it has helped build our brand, especially over in Lincoln, so... Yeah.
In Newark, we'll come back to his lot in a minute, Bolton Cricket Club got on board, and Bolton Cricket Club won their division. So there you go. Success. Lincoln top of the table. Bolton Cricket Club won their division. You've got something to shout about here, because...
Yeah, I think so.
Great ones for taking credit, so... Yeah. How is it different for Bolton, who have got to, in theory... stand out in the blister and eat for 7 or 8 hours?
I suppose it's just energy levels again. I mean, I don't suppose much thought from the neutral or observer goes into the fact that cricketers need to be fit. Yeah, but they do. And obviously a lot of them rely on their power in terms of their bowling and stuff. So it all feeds into nutrition.
So what sort of... I know you're going to say that it's their own choice, but what do Bolton eat before a cricket match?
Bolton were having pretty much the same as Newark Flow Serve, so they're having a range of flapjacks and brownies. I think we actually did them some healthy eat and mess desserts before as well. So I think it's about just getting their energy levels up again.
And proper cricketers always go for a pint after the end of the match.
Of course,
so
yeah.
You can't...
No. That's... You're never going to stop that.
You shouldn't either, because that's grassroots sport. Yeah. But before the match.
Before the match, yeah. That's primarily how we look after most of the teams that we do, yeah.
And David Lynn tells me that part of Bolton's success this year is they've been fitter than the other teams.
Yeah.
Now, that's got to be part of...
nutrition, yeah.
Of what does it do any good, though, Luke, by being Mr. Goody Goody at 12 o'clock on a Saturday... and then forgetting about it until 12 o'clock the next
Not
Saturday.
Really, no. I think people that do that, I think a lot of it's in their mind. I think it's psychological that you can go and have a protein shake or have a healthy meal at 12 o'clock on a Saturday and then perform better. They probably do perform better, but they probably, in the back of their mind, it's psychological. I think top performers are people that want to perform to their full ability. You need to be eating well all week.
And do you find the guys at Bolton and Flow Serve all with you in the...
Yeah, we do, yeah, completely. I think like you say, I think the more successful... I mean, success breeds success. The more successful the club's getting, the more professional players they are sort of attracting, and the more professional players are then looking to us to help them.
So we've done Bolton, we've talked about Flow Serve, and I just think Flow Serve is the same. You are delivering to either Lowfields or to wherever, whatever their order is.
I mean, whatever they want. I mean, to be fair, the lads come in the shop on a Saturday morning and collect it themselves. So, you know, we've got a good relationship like that with them. Get a text off Craig every now and again, just reminding me because we forgot, but...
Craig can't talk. He hadn't done Tony's. He didn't do Tony's programme, no.
he has now, in fairness. But I go into the Flow Serve dressing room before a game, and either to drop off the programmes or to have a chat, or you know, sort of get the team sheets or whatever. And there seems to be a hell of a lot of packets of Haribos around.
Yeah, I think a lot of clubs are doing that. I mean, again, it's just for energy.
Is that fast release of energy?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of professional clubs do that as well. So,
yeah. Other suites are available. Should say that, yeah.
Yeah, not plugging Haribo.
But no, I mean, you are right on the Haribo front. It is renowned. When I've been and seen teams, it's when the rugby girls are playing. There's Haribo's, packets of Haribo's all over the place.
Yeah.
Boxers, again, a completely different sport.
It is, yeah.
We've talked about a sport where you've got to be alert for 7 hours, a sport where you're going to be non-stop running for an hour and a half, and now you've got to channel your energy into 10-20 minutes, but that 10-20 minutes has got to give absolutely everything. Tell me about who you're looking after, and then tell me again about what they're eating.
Well, I mean, I think being a boxer as well, I mean, like, a fair point for that is that it's not just about how they perform. A lot of them have got to make weight. So, you know, before they even perform, they've got to be at a certain weight. So the food is really sort of critical for them. At the moment, we're looking after Brad Dawes, who's under Carl Grease Promotions and is trained by Carl. He's a Nottingham boxer. He had one fight, one win, and he's fighting on November 25th.
Because that's at the showground.
That's at the showground, and we're also looking after Dex Bellman, who is fighting on the Ultimate Boxer card down at the O2 next week. And again, Dex, for instance, texted me last week and said, "Look, mate, I need to cut down my carbs. Can I have some more salads in my preps?" You know, so again, we are tailoring it to what they need, but it is a very different food choice in terms of what boxers have to what footballers have.
Because it is that burst of energy, isn't it?
Yeah. But like I say, they've got to make the weight first. So do you start
if Dex's got a fight in 6 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Do you start now?
Yeah,
that food designed to get Dex, that weight where Dex you
been,
want it.
Yeah, Dex's been with us for 8 weeks. It'll be 8 weeks by the time his fight comes. Brad's just started again last week in prep for November 25th. So they try and get on board as soon as they can. We looked after Ollie Marple as well for a period of time, who fights under Carl. So yeah,
I can't imagine that. You know, you've got to get to that weight and stop on that. Stop on that weight, haven't you? You can't go and forget about it till the next Saturday, like probably a footballer get away with it. He can't do that. And again, is it the norm? Is it the food we've already been speaking to? I see the picture. Yeah. The picture I use look like salmon.
Yeah.
Do you? Is there a lot of fish involved in this?
So we do sort of white fish. We do salmon, tuna.
Because there's only certain fish, isn't it? Somebody, you know, mackerel or something like that, an oily based fish, is not.
Well, not really, because they're going to probably start putting on weight if they do that. So, yeah, it has got to be quite specific. But, I mean, we do have a set menu which the boxers or the athletes can pick from, but we don't just stick to that. I mean, we do tailor specific stuff. Somebody might come in and say, "I don't like any fish." So, I mean, we've got a footballer at Lincoln that's vegan. So we have to do vegan food for him. So it goes off spec to what we normally do, but we do tailor stuff to sort of help out everybody.
You're lucky. You could be next to Forest Green Rovers, then you'd have a problem, because they're all vegans down there, aren't they? The old clubbies. Is that way around. Who else on your list?
Historically, we've had quite a lot. I mean, we've dealt with a few Forest players, Joe Worrell, Barry Mackay, but he got his food from us every week for the whole period he's at Forest. Matty Cash.
You don't want him transferred.
Well, that is another thing, because we was at a point where we were dealing with a hell of a lot of footballers, and I said to Talia, who runs it, we need to be careful, because players can get transferred so easily. We've lost Barry Mackay, we've lost Joe Worrell because they've moved clubs.
Yeah.
So hence why we started focusing a bit more locally. We do a lot of the individual Lincoln players as well. Harry Toffolo gets a lot of food from us. We've done Oliver Burke and James McLean, who play for West Brom. We did all their food last season. But again, they've had a nutritionist come on board at the club, a new manager. They've they've changed the way they do things, they've changed their diet. You know, now we don't provide
food. So it's very fluid then, isn't it?
It is. So the footballing world's quite strange, because you get Matty Cash contact you and want food, and then all of a sudden all his mates do, Oliver Burke, Joe Worrell. So yeah, we do a lot of the Forest under 23 players. In fact, Gary Brazil actually brought over the whole under 23 squad last February, because he actually wanted to teach his squad about eating well. So we had, I think, 20 of the Forest under 23 players crammed in the shop one day, just going through the menu and having food from us. So that was good.
Well, the camera was out that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to catch up with Rob Ellis and find out all about the very successful Dave Lewis run at the weekend. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, I think, what you would say are the brains behind the organisation. Who's not here tonight, because she couldn't come. But we'll mention her, because we're nice like
that. Yeah.
At the weekend, last week, we had the two Robs in the studio, if you recall, talking about the Dave Lewis Challenge. Now, if we go back 12 months, it wasn't the most successful event that they've ever had, and there was a little bit worried. So it was very interesting to see how this weekend's event transpired, and the man to tell us, of course, is Rob Ellis, the brains behind the whole thing. Rob, how was the Dave Lewis Challenge 2018?
Fantastic.
There
absolutely
you go.
Fantastic.
Now, I would suggest that's probably because you two both come onto the radio, but that's in my world. But Rob, just tell us about the day, because I have got my notes, and yes, it was.
Yeah, well, the day was lovely. The underfoot was good after the drop of rain we had. It took a lot of the hardness out of the ground, which was fantastic, really. And everyone was back safe and sound by 5:30. So that on the long route, because they start at 8:30, and there's a 10-hour limit, but they were all back within the 11 hours. The 9 hours, sorry.
So
9 hours. And the short route, well, everyone was back by early afternoon on the short route.
So let's just recap. The long route was
27.5
miles, and the short route was
11.5.
Was 11.5.
Yeah, approximately,
and
yes.
How many runners and walkers was on each of them?
29 on the long route and 27 on the short route. And the total money raised was £810.
And that is a record figure, I understand.
It is, in 19
from
years,
your,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a very sad weekend, because obviously Pam White passed away,
yes, she
the
did,
main
yes.
bulk of that is going to the Sam White legacy.
Yes, what we're going to do is we're donating £500 to the Sam White legacy, and the remainder of it will be split between the Newark Community First Aid and MS on a local level.
That's absolutely fantastic. Mm. And you must be, you and Mr. Orgo must be so, and Newark Athletic have got to be so pleased, because I know you was a little bit worried last year, but last year did clash with an awful lot of things.
It did, yes, because Janet Lewis asked us if we could have it earlier in the year, and it turned out to be on the 7th of October. Well, there's a lot happening at the beginning of October with challenge events. So we only raised, just over £300, I think, last year.
But it's back with a bang, isn't it?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic, yes, it really was. It's worth all the hard work. My wife, Joan, she will email the route descriptions off to people when they send the checks through. So she works very hard at it, behind the scenes. Jonathan Pass, who owns Kelham Hall and the Fox Inn at Kelham, he allowed us to park free of charge in Kelham Hall, and also to use the Fox Inn to put the registration tent up, which we've been using that for 19 years, but he allowed us to carry on, and such a gentleman, a fantastic gentleman.
I mean, that's part of the tradition, that tent in the car park, isn't it? We can't lose tradition.
No, especially when it's tied to a tree.
Exactly. And so in the year, Rob, when the two Robs coordinated the best ever Dave Lewis and the best ever Gordon Wellborn, it's and Newark Athletic Club at the end of that year are going to move on to state-of-the-art facilities at the Leisure Centre.
Yes.
It ain't been a bad 2018.
It's been good, and it does my heart good because I've been a member of Newark Athletic Club 45 years. I mean, not as long as some. My friend Gary Bagley, who I used to run a lot with, he must be knocking on nearly 50 years now for Gary.
Yeah, and
we're still involved in it. That's what I like.
And that's the main thing, isn't it?
I feel honoured when they asked me if I'd organise a challenge event, and it was a friend of mine, Steve Rowe, because he knew I used to love challenge events, and he said, "Will you organise one?" And what you do, I had to organise it through the eyes of a runner. If I was running it, what would I expect? You know, so I enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
One more question, Rob, for you. It's a question we're asking to all our guests tonight because we're talking about nutrition and food. What did you used to eat before you went out running?
Well, I'd have a cereal breakfast, and I used to run one particular event every year called the Leap Moors Marathon, which was about 32, 33 miles. And I was known as the Mars Bar Kid because I always used to carry three Mars bars in the bum bag. High energy, you see.
There you go, so we can talk to Luke about that. Rob, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So pleased it turned out to be a fantastic weekend because we know, I never knew Dave, but we know Reese, his son, very,
yeah,
very well.
Reese and Rory, they're lovely young people. Yes. They really are. Yeah. And the sister as well. Lovely young people, yeah.
So, and I'm so, so pleased. Yeah. Rob, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Excellent effort. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, bye. Mars bars then?
Mars bars, yeah. Well, my brother was a paratrooper, and he actually told me that before they used to go out on big sort of runs and that, they used to have Mars bars, so yeah.
We said we'd mention the people behind the scenes. You're obviously the front of Kitchen 52, mm-hmm. and this thing that's taken over Newark Sport. Who does all the odd work in the background?
My wife Talia does all the hard work, to be honest. Yeah, she's the chef, but George, her brother, he was the chef when we started. He's a very, very talented young chef, and he was with us at the start, and he's brought Talia on and sort of molded her into a great chef as well. But yeah, she looks after everything day to day, and I'm just the
mouthpiece.
I'm the mouthpiece. Yes. Yeah, I'm the face of it, I suppose.
The George, then, has he got a background in?
Yeah, George.
Because it's not really, and you've made it sound so easy, but it's got to be more than just putting a meal together.
I think I thought that before I got involved, but in fact, it's not. It is actually really easy, and George made that quite clear from the start. I mean, just looking at sugar levels and things like that, really, that. You can still have a really enjoyable meal without it being sort of bad for you.
And that's the interesting thing at the end of this, Tony, isn't it? You know, you don't have to eat your fish and chips and your stodgy food. You can enjoy food.
Well, I mean,
that is also good for you.
I mean, we do steak and chips. Steak without any fat on with, you know, sort of sweet potato fries. It's a steak dinner.
It's beginning to come round.
Yeah, there you go. I think people have the wrong perception of it. I mean, we do sausage and mash, you know, like gluten-free sausages from Doncaster's. Obviously, there is other butchers, but obviously we... I'm learning, aren't I?
You're learning.
You're learning.
Allegedly is a good word as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we do a range of sort of like enjoyable food that's, you know, that's fun. It isn't boring. It isn't chicken and rice. It isn't just that, so...
Excellent. So what do you make of the last hour then, Mr. Smith?
I suppose it's something that, I mean, like I said, I did the London Marathon in 1992 for the second time. Did it in 89, I just messed about. But in 92 I did it properly, and my pre-race meal was 4 Mars bars and 2 litres of Lucozade.
Yeah.
Got me around.
Yeah.
Probably not the best meal you could have.
I always think, you know, how important is nutrition? I mean, you made a good point earlier about George Best. What a great footballer, the best we've probably ever seen. How good, you know, would George Best be eating better or on decent football pitches? Times have changed, haven't they? And I think we're just moving with the times and so, you know, trying to be involved in that.
I mean, one of the stories I always tell, we've been down to see Forest beat Arsenal in the sixth round of the FA Cup at the old Highbury, and was in a chip shop somewhere in Holloway or Highbury, some high street down there. And the Forest team bus stopped and Ron Fenton come into the thing and picked up about 25 portions of fish and chips. But that's how it was in them days. But as you said, I think the one thing you can say now about... Obviously, the pitches are better, whatever you play on, the better. But players now in whatever sport are so much fitter. And you do helps the job tremendously.
Well, it makes the option easier, doesn't it? If there's somewhere for people to go... on their doorstep, it makes it an easier option for them, which is what we tried to do, really.
I think it's here to stay, Tony.
Well, yes, I think it should be. I mean, anything that makes people feel better in themselves. I mean, there's a great debate at the minute. Not debate, but there's a great awareness at the minute about mental health. And I think anything that makes you feel better in yourself is worth promoting, whatever it may be, whether that be stopping drinking, whether it be eating sensibly or just exercising. You know, I mean, it really does help to sort of...
Well, I think nutrition plays a big part of mental health as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you just said yourself off air that, you know, you feel better and since you've been not drinking. So, you know, so mentally, you're in a better place. So there's a perfect example.
Yeah, exactly. I'd recommend it to anybody.
There you go. We've been talking nutritious food all night with Luke O'Reilly that I'm not allowed to say where he comes from, but it's next to Starbucks, apparently. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I've not told you anything about it, but nutritious food, it's the way forward. Flowserve, Lincoln City, Balderton, Dex Bellman. Come on, there's one thing in common there. They're all successful, very successful. It's got to help. It really has. Tomorrow night, we're talking somebody who Luke O'Reilly will know and he's probably met and he's probably given his name to on more than one occasion. Andrew Wind is our studio guest tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Who is actually refereeing for the 39th consecutive season.
I thought you said 79th last night.
It just seems like that. So we're going to talk all things football. It's going to be unashamedly football tomorrow night because Indy's coming in. There's lots of questions I want to put to him because he's renowned for sitting on a fence and I want to get him off that fence. He's also going to update us on David Coote, who's having a wonderfully successful time.
He came in the shot once.
There you go. It came in the shot once and he's now a Premier League referee.
That's the difference.
There you go. That's the difference. So it's an Andrew Hind night tomorrow night and we're going to have a quick look back at all the disasters of last weekend and a quick look forward to all the good things that's going to happen this weekend, or at least that's the theory of it all. It might not happen in practice. It hardly ever does, but... you never know. Big thanks to Luke O'Reilly for giving up an hour of his time, because I know he's a busy man, but he's been here tonight and chatting nutrition. Give it a try. You will feel better for it.